brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business, the talk show dedicated to small business owners and entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Stacy Key, the CEO and president of GMSDC, the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council, one of Georgia's leading small business development organizations, and I'm excited to be here today. Let's Talk Small Business is a weekly dialogue about the engine that drives the American economy. Small businesses has been set as small business goes, so goes America. But what the factors that what's on our show, we'll be talking about the factors that impact small business. And so today, we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got two incredible guests that'll be joining us. First, Ralph Moore from Ralph G. Moore and Associates. And we got Kermitia Burton of Delta Airlines. And we're going to be talking about supplier diversity, the economic impact of that. We're going to be talking about tier two, a little bit about tier two and what that means and what, why that's really important for suppliers and why they should be leveraging tier two opportunities. And so, but remember for you, our listeners, that we air every Tuesday at 11:30 on Business Radio X. So take your, put it on your calendar. Be sure you're tuning in. We try to bring you those topics and issues that you can't get anyplace else. So please tune in to Let's Talk Small Business. And we want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, Georgia Power, a Southern company, Cox, the Cox family of companies, and the Coca-Cola Company. For without you, our sponsors, this would not be possible. So we're going to kick it off right away here. Ralph and Kermitia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
Thanks.
Me.
Thanks.
So we're going to kick it off with you, Ralph, starting off. Ralph G. Moore and Associates has been around a while. You have got an impressive career. We don't talk about supplier diversity many times without talking about Ralph G. Moore and Associates and talking about you because you've been around and laid a foundation in this space. So for some of our listeners that may or may not know about you and your career and what Ralph G. Moore and Associates has done, take a moment and just tell us about your background, what you've done, and the groundwork that you have really laid in this space for us.
Well, thank you. Again, I'm very pleased to be here. And let me first give a little commercial for Stacy Key. There are 24 councils within the NMSDC network. The Georgia Council is one of the leading councils, and Stacy is one of the leading presidents, one of the leading CEOs. So I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, thank you for that commercial. When we send this out, we send it out to the whole network.
Okay.
So everyone out there, all my peers, will get to hear that what you
yes.
said. And so I want you all to know out there that Ralph said I'm one of the leading presidents.
No,
so
no doubt about it.
Maybe they'll treat me differently with
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. But again, Ralph G. Moore and Associates. I'm a CPA. I worked at Arthur Andersen. And I say that not so much from the standpoint of I passed the CPA exam. That's great. But I approached the whole issue of supplier diversity in small business as a businessman. And I think my legacy will be that I was one of the first to start talking about this in business terms versus social right thing to do terms.
That's important. So, you know, because really corporations want to know how it impacts their bottom line.
Exactly.
And that's the key.
Exactly. And really, that's first and foremost, that's all it's about. I mean, and we were having a conversation earlier. The reality is what's in it for me is not just human nature. It's how CEOs keep their jobs in corporate America. What's in it for my shareholders? And that's basically what we bring to the conversation. So my career spans, again, I've been blessed in so many ways. I initially worked for a MESBIC after leaving Arthur Andersen, which is a minority business investment company. And during that time, I met Reggie Lewis, who was a general counsel for the association. I met Perrin Mitchell.
Oh, wow. You've got some history there.
So there was a meeting at Rutgers University, April 1974. Matter of fact, Marie Stans, and most people don't understand this part of history. Marie Stans was Richard Nixon's commerce secretary. He was the architect of black capitalism. Without black capitalism, without Richard Nixon, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Oh, I don't know if he's gotten credit for that.
He
did not get credit for that. He got overshadowed by a few other things.
Yeah, he created some other problems for himself. But the reality is, in response to the riots of the 1960s throughout America, Richard Nixon implemented black capitalism, which And he reached out to corporate America and said, blacks are frustrated. They need a piece of the economic pie. Find them opportunities in your company. Unfortunately, too many companies thought their response was, well, let's put them in the foundation. As a matter of fact, the initial minority purchasing programs, and that's what they called them in those days, many of them were in the foundation because they were giving, they were
that community, that feel exactly. good, that whole, that's where it started.
And some of it still is so still
some of it's
today.
Still there today. Would you not agree, Kimitri?
I agree.
And
entitlement.
But I took the lessons I learned from those days. 1979, started my company. Matter of fact, my first corporate client, Baxter Healthcare, we were trying to help them understand how to work with minority suppliers. And from there, we created a model, the RGMA 5 levels, which has been embraced by corporate America.
It is the foundation of what all of us use
there.
Everyone uses it. You've done it. Thank you for setting the bar with that.
Thank you. A matter of fact, I've traveled throughout the world talking about it. I've sold it to a consulting firm, the RGMA 5 levels, to a consulting firm in South Africa, where it's been adopted to fit their business model. So. I've been all over the world talking about this, but the reality is it's still about business. And when you talk about the value proposition of supplier diversity, it starts and ends with supply chain excellence. We have tens of thousands of brilliant minority CEOs running great companies that deliver value to the bottom line. And the companies that are sponsors of your mm-hmm. program, mm-hmm. they understand that. The Delta Airlines understands that. And the question now becomes, how do we communicate this to our consumers? Because they have to validate the value proposition. If you have a choice between riding Delta or another airline that doesn't have a supplier diversity program, you have to vote with your pocketbook.
That's right. That's right.
I only
fly Delta, so I vote with my pocketbook.
That other airline might get me there a half hour sooner, but Delta does the right thing in my community, does the right thing for my business,
sure.
and that's how we have to roll, as the kids would say.
Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent. Before we go any further, I want to take an opportunity for Kermitra Burton to kind of introduce herself, because you have done some impressive things. You've kind of blazed your trail in the supply.
Thank
you've
you.
Got your mark. Got your stilettos marked there
Thank
in the
you.
Space. So
Thank
take
you.
A minute and let's talk
Thank
about
you.
Your background, where you've been, and what
Thank
you've
you.
Done.
Thank you for being here. I'm always honored to sit next to Ralph and sharing the thought leadership. And thank you, Stacy, for this opportunity. I'm always happy to talk about what we've done at Delta. I've been at Delta a little bit over 7 years now. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, my.
Yes.
It's been 7 years
it
already?
It has been. I mean, it has flown by. But that means you're having a good time.
Absolutely.
And that comes through, you know, the support of leadership, the support of our supply chain management organization and my peers and partnering organizations as GMSDC. So one of the things that I quickly did when I started at Delta is I took an assessment of the culture of the company and what the mentality was around supplier diversity. And the way you do that is you begin to understand leadership's commitment and buy-in, right? Not just involvement, but what is their commitment
yes.
to the strategy.
It really always goes back to the commitment.
It really does. Yeah.
Where the rubber meets the road.
And that will, as a supply diversity professional, that will help or hurt your career. And so I took an assessment of all the leadership, the culture. I began to have meetings, let people know who I was, what I was doing, and what my charge was. And the way you influence people is just by instilling trust in them, right? So I always led with my experience before Delta Airlines. I was with Intercontinental Hotels Group, AT&T, and Xerox. And when people realize that you're capable and passionate about it, that influence turns into trust, and they begin to commit to it. And so that was one of the things that I did first. I had what I call, I put meetings, my roadshow meetings, where I sat with all the key decision-making executives to get their feel, their story, and their understanding, and more importantly, their buy-in on supplier diversity.
Excellent. And as a result of that, take a minute and talk about some of the, because you've made some inroads and you've made an impressive market Delta. Take a minute
Thank
and
you.
Talk about some of the successes there.
So one of the things that we quickly implemented was our supplier diversity champions. As you know, most of my supplier diversity peers know, our departments and our budgets run very lean. And so you have to be creative with what you have and don't allow what you don't have to stop your progress. So what we did is we embedded champions at all levels, the executive level, the business unit level and then the supply chain level for engagement. Those people were at meetings that I couldn't attend sometimes because of my schedule, and they kept the supplier diversity conversation and the value proposition top of mind. So when you deploy champions across the organization enterprise-wide, those are your advocates. Those are people that are talking about supplier diversity in your absence. The other thing that we did is we began to have individual procurement meetings with the help of GMSDC and other partnering organizations, where we would have an open house and we would teach business owners how to do business with Delta. We would have our supply chain executives from each commodity team talk about their space, what they look for in a supplier, the contracting terms, and the such. And this was so successful because suppliers would walk away with two thoughts of mine. One, I'm ready to do business with Delta. Or two, I'm not ready to do business with Delta. And so when they say that, I think, you know, being honest with yourself and being transparent is key. But we did the individual procurement meetings as a point of awareness and education for the suppliers in the community.
And what I love about, Stacey, what Kimitri is telling us is that she's a change agent. And also the signal, Delta wouldn't hire her unless they were serious about supplier diversity, because they knew she was going to come in and make, and she wasn't going to just sit there and accept status quo. And I go back to the RGMA five levels, those advanced and world-class processes, initiatives, they only get there because of great change agents who are in place.
Sure.
I sit on the Procter & Gamble Supplier Diversity Advisory Council. They have a gentleman, Andy Butler, who, same thing.
He's impressive.
He's a change agent. Mm-hmm. I sit on the Macy's Supplier Diversity mm-hmm. Advisory Council. They brought in John Munson.
Another impressive
change
individual.
Agent. So when you see change agents running those supplier diversity initiatives, mm-hmm. you know the company's serious about it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then one last thing I want to talk about that's been really big for us is every company has a strategic initiative at the beginning of every year, or what their guidelines or what their rules of the roads are. And so last year, supplier diversity is now in Delta Airlines flight plan. And our flight plan is our overall strategic, overarching principles, rules of the road, how they do their business. Customer service, safety, people. It's seven different pillars, and supplier diversity is now on the flight plan. And that's major.
That's congratulations.
Thank
Kudos
you.
To you.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
on
you.
The flight. I like
it's
that. The flight
on,
plan.
It's on the flight plan. And if it's on the flight plan, guess what that means?
Gets
it
focus.
Has executive visibility.
It's got,
it has a keen focus. And every year we sit down, maybe September, October, to look at the flight plan to say, we've accomplished this. We've missed the mark. What are we going to do about it? And so now that it has that level of visibility, I am now putting in strategies for enterprise-wide supplier diversity strategies and solutions.
Excellent.
And so that's one of the things that I'm, you know, very, very proud of and excited about, because, you know, when Kermitra goes away, when she wins the lottery, right? It's on the flight plan. It is sustained.
It lives beyond you.
Exactly.
And that's
sustained.
What you want. It's sustainable.
Exactly.
It lives beyond you.
Excellent.
Yep. So we're going to go ahead and jump in and talk about the state of supplier diversity, where it is today. I want to get your perspective, because a lot's going on and it's constantly changing. And so I want to talk about kind of the state of where it is, because it's kind of an interesting point right now. There's a lot going on in our country, and this whole supplier diversity. When people hear supplier diversity, people still cringe, as opposed to when you say, I'm looking to diversify my supply base to create value. Nobody cringes when you say it that way. But when I say supplier diversity, I still get, oh. So
sure.
Let's talk about the state of supplier diversity from both of your perspectives, where it kind of is today. Weave in that economic impact piece, because Ralph already opened up that can, because when you start talking about how I invest my dollars, that's economic impact. And so let's, and either of you can jump in. Ralph,
sure.
You want to start first, or let's talk about this.
Okay.
Where we are right now.
So I remember, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed doing supplier diversity work. It's probably been over about 12 years now, and I went to one of Ralph's training classes. And I love your models, because I've seen them evolve over the mm-hmm. years. And I remember one of the first things that I saw, one of the value propositions for doing supplier diversity was, it was the right thing to do. That has shifted. So it used to be the right thing to do. Then it went to customer value. Then it went to market shareholder value. Those are absolutely all the right things to do. But now I think we need to begin to measure that success in economic impact. So if you are a supplier diversity professional and you are still selling supplier diversity as the right thing to do, you may need some help, because we are beyond that business case. It is no longer a feel good community relations. Let's just do it because it's the right. It is the right thing to do, but it brings more value than that. And so as we increase numbers with minorities, you know, I think we need to do more than that and talk about the economic impact. We need to begin to talk about how corporations are really making a difference in the communities we serve by, one, creating jobs in the community, right? So when we employ a supplier, and I have a supplier of mine, been doing work with Delta for 15 years, the owner came to me and said, as a result of the contract with Delta, a lot of my employees have been able to go back to school, or they are first generation college graduates, right? Because we have been able to give back to the community and make the impact in those companies and those communities. So when they are going back to college, guess what they're doing? They're sustaining a legacy in their family. They're growing in the company, and then they're able to teach their children and their grandchildren about entrepreneurship, education, and just how to sustain their brand and their legacy. So as companies think about employing suppliers and giving back to those companies, creating jobs, creating wealth, building the brand, giving back to the communities that they serve, that is economic impact. And I believe that should be the next direction of supplier diversity. We still want to increase spend, but I think we're looking a step further to more innovative thinking and how we drive value broader in those communities and bringing brand value as well.
I really agree. And I'm one quick caveat. You mentioned that if there's a supply diversity professional still driving their program based on it's the right thing to do and they need help, they don't need help. They need a job, because they're going to be out of work.
Point taken.
Pretty soon. Or anyone driving that right thing to do, they're probably working for a company that could care less about supply diversity, and they have just the right person driving it who's out of touch with what's going on today.
But
I think the other issue, which I think is interesting, supply diversity professionals have fewer resources, fewer FTEs than they've ever had, based on the profit margin squeeze in corporate America.
Yep. Is it usually a one or two person team, and you need more than that?
You do.
Exactly.
Yes, you do.
We work with Bank of America, Dorothy Brothers, who's a legend, and we lost Dorothy too soon. But we worked with Dorothy back in 1993 to help her with her first value proposition. Mm-hmm. She had 27 people.
27 people?
In supplier diversity. Wow. Now, again, that was an unusual number.
Wow.
Bank of America. But understand, Hugh McCall was an unusual CEO. He was the CEO of Nations Bank when they bought Bank of America. But I say that to say it's a new time. It's a new generation. So what's happened? But supplier diversity professionals have to do more now than ever, because it's not a matter of adding, we're going to look at economic impact only. We're going to add economic impact to the toolkit. So it's like in my day, I remember the old Ed Sullivan show where the person would get on and start spinning plates on a stick, and he'd have 9 plates going and he has to run up. That's the visual I have for supplier diversity professionals. So economic impact is just one more plate that they have to spin in addition to supply chain excellence, all the other things that happen in the company. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that makes it even more complex, so the value proposition is not just a single conversation with somebody in the company. You have interactions with 10 or 12 different departments with different needs. So economic impact might be great if you're talking to the government affairs person who's trying to get an audience with the Black Caucus, or it might be great with the community affairs person, but you're talking to the chief procurement officer whose job is to take 5% out of the spend next year. He could care less about economic impact. So you got to have a different message for him if you're going to have a value proposition. So you have multiple value propositions within every company.
Sure. I think one thing, you made a very good point back to Dorothy and 27 people. Whoa, I would have loved that. Love that. It's important that supplier diversity is positioned right in the company, right?
And so what does that mean, though? Positioned right. Does that mean where does it report? If it's reporting to HR, is that the right spot?
For us at Delta, the best place to optimize it is in supply chain.
So
because you are working with supplier partners. right? So you want to be right in the area where you can have the greatest influence. If you're in HR, probably not the best place. However, it depends on what the objective is of your strategy. And maybe you're with a company where you may say, you know, we really want to focus on more community involvement. Bless you. Maybe HR is the right place. But if you are really looking to optimize your supply chain and add value to that,
and supply chain would be the best place.
But unfortunately, most supplier diversity professionals don't have a choice.
Yeah, you don't get a choice. You don't get to vote.
Point taken.
And the other point that I've seen, and I used to be 100% has to be supply chain. But I realize if the CPO is not embracing, is not a champion.
Sure.
Matter of fact, if he's an enemy of supply diversity, that's the worst place you can be.
Sure.
So you want to go where there's budget and where there's support.
Sure.
So the advent of the chief diversity officer, I've seen some chief diversity officers that have been great champions. You mm-hmm. obviously must have a dotted line to
Absolutely.
Sourcing
yes.
because it's about relationships.
Yes.
But the other issue we have. We have to be very careful not to get too embedded in sourcing because we can miss professional services. We can miss outsourcing. We can miss financial services. There's a lot of different things that are happening outside of sourcing. And again, until you get into the flight plan, you're going to be.
Which is the strategic plan.
Exactly.
The flight plan. If you're not on the strategic plan.
You now are throughout the company.
Yes.
If you're just buried in sourcing, many times you can't get beyond the indirect sourcing, indirect spend categories.
Sure.
So you've got, being on where you're positioned in the company, ideally you want to be positioned where there's a champion in this budget, obviously because you're going to need resources. Yeah. Two, you want
to
be part of the strategic plan.
Have
in many cases, you're not. You're a department or you're a person of one that's somewhere within an organization that doesn't have the support and visibility and the leadership commitment that back to what Carmitria said earlier, commitment.
So we recommend a very strong and powerful steering committee. That's going to allow you to reach all aspects of the company, all areas of the company, and you have multiple voices in support of supply diversity.
So advisory boards, such as you sitting on Procter & Gamble, mm-hmm. you're sitting on Macy's,
yes.
Delta has one. So organizations set up these outside advisory boards that provides input, provides direction, and actually some thought leadership.
Exactly.
And not only that, they are championing on your behalf when they're in their meetings and the communities and going, did you know Delta was doing that? I didn't know that. So these people are not only bringing their thought leadership, but you are creating advocacy among these community leaders and organizations as well.
And validation on the inside, because if they hear, wait a minute, the chief financial officer sits on the Supplier Diversity Advisory Council. Maybe this is more important than I thought. So that red dot next to my name on the scorecard, I can't afford to see the CFO to see that next quarter. So let me call Supply Diversity and see if we can figure out how we can collaborate.
Excellent. So as again, continuing our discussion around the state of minority business and economic impact, what are some of the hottest things? What are some of the challenges right now in this space? Because there's a lot of turnover because people that have been in the space for a while they're retiring, and you're bringing millennials, you're bringing fresh blood into the space that don't have the history, they don't have the same level of experience, and sometimes the same level of passion and commitment. That's some of the thing that's going on. What kinds of things are you hearing that you know in this space? Because again, we've got to keep that focus because the demographics are changing. In 2020, things are going to be looking a little bit different. America's browning in multiple ways.
Well, the 500-pound gorilla in the room is MBE capacity.
Okay.
Until we can't act like it's not there.
We try to sometimes.
Because the reality is we don't have enough scalable MBEs in the marketplace. My new relationships, I'm a special advisor to a private equity fund, APC Holdings. And their focus is to create transformational minority business enterprises through investments, through private equity. We're working, and how that looks, and I can't call, a lot of the things are proprietary and private at the moment, but we're looking inside, we're meeting with key executives and companies and saying, okay, you have some, and I think this is where the next generation of MBEs are going to come from. You're seeing your executives in these companies who are now ready to become entrepreneurs. That's the American dream. You have a lot of senior, if you look at corporate America, many of their suppliers are former employees. So why not? We have this explosion of senior level minority executives in, you know, mid-40s, money in the bank. Hey, why don't you come out? Let's buy a company. Let's create a company where we can create a scalable MBE like that. You know the culture. You know the language. You're an operator. We can make things happen in a very effective way. So I'm very excited about the work that APC Holdings is doing, mm-hmm. and I think this is going to represent how we create those scalable MBEs for the future.
Point taken, Ralph. I think, yep, scale and scope definitely continues to be a challenge for us on the MBE side. Another thing I always advise suppliers to do is to sell solutions, right? Know Amen. What your value proposition is. If you're on the elevator with the key decision maker, what are you going to say in 30 seconds that is going to catch their attention? Go beyond, you know, I sell a widget, a product or service, but sell solutions. And selling solutions meaning knowing what are the pain points of Delta Airlines, right? You can hear it on the news, read in our, you know, what are we struggling with? And then come to us, hear the key buzzwords, saving money, increasing customer value, and increasing market share.
So, all on the flight plan, all on the flight plan.
If you hear those words for any corporation, savings, customer value, customer service, getting more market share, you are golden. So know how to sell a solution.
And if I may, we need to have that come to Jesus meeting. And I have them. I do a lot of training with MBEs. Let's close the door and talk about what's real. The day, we tell our clients, if an MBE walks in the room and says, well, I'm an MBE, I know you have a supply diversity program, I'm here for my contract, throw them out. And I hate to say this, people are still doing this today.
Entitlement.
It's embarrassing to me. It's a tragedy, really.
That's not happening anymore. That doesn't happen.
Trust me.
I haven't experienced it in a while, but when I used to, it happens.
It happens way too many times. Okay. But the other one is, the other question that's a deal breaker, what do you do?
Whatever you need me to do.
Exactly. No, the MBE will ask what do you want me to, you know, what do you buy? Now, wait a minute. Websites, annual reports, there's all kind of information out here. How do you go into a meeting with a decision maker and you're not ready? It's unbelievable.
Know the customer.
We've had this discussion. What I hear you both saying is there's opportunities there, but we don't have the right MBEs, minority businesses, to take advantage of those opportunities.
We have some. Don't get me wrong. It's not all.
Not all. But there.
We need more.
We need more. There's opportunities. We don't have enough that have the capacity to be able to handle all the opportunities. And so the question I challenge to both of you is, how do we scale them? What is the fastest way to scale minority businesses? We've talked about it. It's you can't do it organically, because organically takes time. You can do it by acquisition. You can do it by joint venture. Mm-hmm. You can do it by, we've got mentor protege programs. You've got accelerator programs. Mm-hmm. What is the fastest way to get scale to take advantage of all the opportunities, assuming you got the right minority business in the right industry? Now, we're not talking about some industries where we're saturated. We talk about IT staffing. We tend to be saturated. But when I look at energy, I'm not saturated. If I look at health IT, I'm not saturated. When I look at this entertainment for Georgia, I'm not saturated. And so when I look at some of these areas that are not saturated, what is the fastest way to scale once I identify?
I think strategic partnerships are key. One of the things we're beginning to think about at Delta is we are beginning to really think about organically growing and grooming one of our top suppliers to compete in a space where there's no minorities. And that may mean funding through us, educating, awareness.
I like it.
Strategic partnerships.
I like that.
You know, one of the two biggest ineligible areas at Delta is fuel and aircraft parts. Boeing, single source provider.
Correct.
Nobody can really compete.
Yeah.
Right. So how do we, Delta, begin to get suppliers in that space, help them with funding, strategic partnerships, and groom them to make it a win-win for both of us?
Mm-hmm. And the other issue, and I know we're wrapping up, the other issue is we should fund the local NMSCC councils to bring capacity building to those emerging MBEs.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've got our local mentor protege program, and I think as we're looking at continuing to tweak and modify our program and even splintering things additionally off from that program, I want to clearly understand what is the most effective way to get scale to strategic businesses for growth? Because the key is getting them ready fast enough so that they can take and leverage the opportunities in the supply chain and bringing supply chain excellence to exactly what you said.
Exactly.
Now, you know, we're running out of time today. You see, there's more discussion to be had. We could do a whole series on this. Mm-hmm. And sure. I think we need to look at doing a series on this discussion. I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. And I want to give you both an opportunity to give some parting words and some final thoughts. Because as we share this whole broadcast with all of our constituents, what advice would you give around economic impact, around supplier diversity, to minority businesses? We didn't even get a chance to touch Tier 2 today. We'll save that for another discussion. But what parting words would each of you give? First, you, Kemetria.
So parting words, you know, for the MBE community and the corporates, show up, right? So for MBE, show up. Show up prepared. Show up knowing your value proposition. Show up, to Ralph's point, knowing the customer and sales solutions. For corporations, show up through commitment, not involvement, but executive commitment. Show up in giving supplier diversity the right skill set of people, resources, and budget.
Excellent.
So just show up.
Excellent.
I guess I would take my, and again, that's great comments. The point I would make is, and we didn't get to it, we have to get the minority consumer to validate the value proposition. We have to drink Coca-Cola because they do a great job with supplier diversity. Mm-hmm. The conversation we were having earlier, Procter & Gamble makes great products. There's one product, Bounty Paper Towels. They compete against Georgia-Pacific right here. I know I'm in trouble, but I'm leaving at 4 o'clock, so you can't run me out of town because I'll be gone.
You'll leave town anyway.
Yeah, Georgia-Pacific's supplier diversity program is not anywhere near Procter & Gamble's. As minority consumers, we need to buy Procter & Gamble's product because they support our community. It's a reciprocal trade conversation, not a handout or the right thing to do.
Understand. I want to thank both of you for joining us.
Thank you, Stacey. I will have you
both back. Make a commitment now to come back to Let's Talk Small Business, please.
I'll be back.
Okay, great. I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. Again, I want to do a shout out to our sponsors, Georgia Power, a Southern company, the Coca-Cola Company, the Cox family of companies, for without you, this would not be possible. We want to thank our listeners again for joining us. And don't forget, next week, same time, 11:30 on Business Radio X, Let's Talk Small Business. Enjoy. Take care.